Hail the void, voidlings! Diav, the lorekeeper, prepared to scry once more a story for you. When we last left our adventurers, they had discovered that not only Belloc, but Garan the Innkeeper were members of the same famed group as Emtazar, the Seven Joys. After Ludwig dispatched the leftover rogue, he joined Quillan in the kitchen to make a strange but wonderful meal. The group decided to leave the Bearded Boar Inn in the care of Erky Timbers, their gnomish friend saved from the goblins of the Citadel. Suddenly, a scream rang out from the town center. As our adventurers ran to investigate, they discovered a tent had appeared, seemingly from nowhere. What could be in store for them as they enter this strange pavilion? And will an encounter with a powerful deck of cards leave them in high spirits or at rock bottom? Find out now on If I Could Wish a Wish.
And the first thing you notice is that this tent is much bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
This seems really familiar.
Sakura, noticing this, says, it's much smaller on the outside.
You also notice that there are large and very long shelves that all seem to have a good layer of dust along them. There are also places in the dust that look like they were disturbed, like there were items filling these shelves, and there's a very sparse amount of things in here at the moment. And sitting behind a little counter in the middle of the tent, you see an old, aged man. Appears as a long, silver-haired, elderly elf, wearing multicolored blue, gray, green robes. He has one cloudy eye and one eye covered by an eye patch. And he looks up at you as you sort as Ludwig charges in and everybody else sort of saunters in behind him. And you can see that as he was looking down, his age and experience were sort of weighing on him. But as soon as he looks up and sees you, his face picks up and he smiles. And he stands and he says, "Welcome! Welcome, dear friends! Oh, it has been so long!" And he starts making his way from behind the counter.
Ludwig runs up to the counter and stops, looking around. Where are the things? Where? There were things here.
He smiles and he sort of leans on the desk a little bit and says, "Yes, yes, of course. Well, it has been a long time, and my last journey was a little bit draining. As you can see, business has been good. How have things been for you, Roderick?"
"You know Ludwig?"
"Of course I know Ludwig." And he turns to the rest of you, and all of... And then he steps, and he looks into each of your eyes individually.
I cover my eyes immediately.
And he says, "Oh. Well, this is it then, is it? Well. It has been good knowing you." And he sort of goes behind the desk and flips a page in his book, scribbles something down, and shuts it, and puts the pen in the inkwell, and sort of pushes it off to the edge. He says, "This is the beginning of your journey."
"Ludwig like journey." "There will be fight."
I'm looking at Tamini thinking, what
is going on?
Is he recognizing us? Do we recognize him?
Do we recognize him?
You've never seen this individual before.
Sakura, what's going on?
Ludwig thought this place you buy. Not place that you buy?
Well, there are some things to buy. But first, I have some things to trade.
Okay.
And he snaps both of his fingers and the front panel of the tent swings shut. And invisible torches begin to light up in a circle around the area of his desk, encompassing where you're standing as well.
Ooh.
I think we're in a portal.
He...
Like on ship? Like window on ship?
A portal, not a porthole. Like...
Oh. Is portal ale?
Sakura placing her hand on Ludwig. Do you feel like you are in ale, Ludwig?
No, Ludwig would be much happier if in ale.
Yes, so a portal is not ale. We, I believe, are in the presence of someone who...
Time travels?
May or may not be a healer to our problems. We'll see.
If he already knows us, and he says this is the end, and he was surprised that you didn't know him, which means we probably meet him younger version of himself in the future.
Wait, was this pavilion blue?
It was the same color as his robes. It was multicolored.
But, oh, okay.
Blue, gray, green, white.
Okay, primarily blue then.
I look at him and say, am I right?
Does it have Constable Call Pavilion written on the side of it?
references, bro.
He waves his arms in a magical manner, and you see patterns light in the air in front of you. And as he does this, he opens up an unseen door in the fabric of reality and pulls out a box. And he walks to Ludwig. And he says,
Roderick, young and full of age, whose youth froze in the ice, find your love in feeding all with Heward's handy spice.
And he opens the box and you see a small leather pouch inside of it.
With Howard's? Handy. Healing
spice? Heward's. Oh. Handy spice.
How much? For these items, I will only trade.
For what?
He smiles at you, and you see his eyes drift down to your hip, where the troll's head hangs.
But I just named him Harl.
His name was Morselor once.
And now it's Harl.
Well, I wish to return Harl to the ground.
Why?
To end his long suffering.
So he alive after?
He is alive currently.
And you look down and you can actually now see the troll's eyes like keep blinking and his mouth is like slowly not making any sound because he doesn't have lungs.
Oh. That make more sense. I no want to hurt.
So he cuts it free by cutting some of the hair off of it with his sword.
Okay.
And he hands the head to him.
And he looks at the head and he says,
Oh, Morselor.
Harl.
Harl. What did you do to your lovely elven features?
And he puts the head into the extra dimensional space and closes it.
Okay.
He waves his hands again and opens up.
Grabs the spice.
Oh, no, he gives that to you. Sorry. He opens up another portal and pulls out a very long box and turns towards Tumani. And he steps forward and says,
Wild one of earth and flame, unbridled passion of Gaia, from your home tree I give to you the oaken staff of Diana.
And he opens it, and you see a long, gnarled, two-handed staff within the box.
Quarterstaff?
Yes.
Cool. Staff of Diana?
Correct.
Was that my home tree's name?
No, but you can tell that the wood that this staff is made from the wood of your home tree.
Okay, I'm like looking at my stuff thinking like, what of this does he want?
You see his eyes trail down and fall upon your shillelagh.
I like pet it. I can imbue anything with my shillelagh power. I know that so much.
It's just the
this one's been with you for a while.
Be good to her.
He smiles and says, "Of course I will." And he hands you the staff.
Plant her somewhere nice.
I give my quarterstaff a little flippy-doo.
Okay. I'll give you some info on that in just a minute.
Cool.
He closes the box and puts it back into the extra-dimensional space, opens up a new portal, and pulls out a small box and moves to Sakura. And Sakura, make a perception check, or make an insight check for me, actually.
So, like, my never mind. That's just saving throw, never mind.
Excuse me.
Insight was wisdom, so that's this one.
Should just be your insight
score. I was choosing which die. 12.
You're not sure, but this guy doesn't seem to like you very much. You see his demeanor kind of change as he approaches you. He's a little less friendly with you than he was with Ludwig and Tumani.
Mm-hmm.
And he holds the box forward. And he says,
"For one whose path is gray and clouded, a scale betwixt hope and bane, perhaps the weighing can be saved with the obscured vein."
And he opens the box, and you see on a golden braided lanyard a small jade box with a coiled serpent on the top of it, whose mouth opens to catch the lanyard.
I like those clasps we were looking at the other day.
Can we all kind of tell that he's kind of being backhanded to Sakura?
Make an insight check.
Alright.
Looking at it, but not reaching for it, Sakura looks at him and says, "And what do you require of me, Oracle?"
He gives a little smirk, and he looks back at you, and he actually leans into you and says very quietly,
"For you, the trade is hope."
And you see his eyes sort of shift to Tamani for a second and then back to you and say,
"Perhaps this will ease your darker desires."
Okay, that's a little mean. I'm going to say it straight up, like, oh, just
well,
because...
Well, he's whispering, too.
Yeah, what was everybody else's insight scores?
20.
10.
Not natural.
Oh, this dude totally, for Ludwig, totally seems like he's on the ball. You two definitely can get the feeling that there's unease between him and Sakura.
I like this traitor.
Sakura notices this, and, you know, she's kind of particular about when people don't treat her very, very well.
Yeah, normally
but,
it's me.
You know, this guy's giving everybody else gifts, or, you know, to this point, minus Quillan and, but, you know, he's also talking about hope, and he seems to know something that nobody else has talked to her about, because, yes. So she pulls out her silk handkerchief from her belongings and tucks it into his fold of his robe.
As soon as you touch him,
oh God,
there's a flash. And you see in your mind a scene play out of you and your friends beaten and bloodied, standing over the body of Emtazah. And you see yourself cut open, bloodied, full of exhaustion. And you watch your eyes pan down to a very dark-looking grimoire laying next to her corpse. And you see your hand open and reach for it. And then you cut back. And he's the Oracle, as you called him, is just looking at you, just deadpan in your eyes.
I see the hope isn't just for me. And she reaches in and grabs the necklace and puts it on in front of him, maintaining eye contact.
He takes the silk handkerchief out and puts it in the box while maintaining eye contact with you and slaps it shut and puts it into the extra-dimensional space. And then he turns to Quillanin and says,
"And who might you be?"
"What?"
"My name is Quillanin. I'm a priest of Shantae. And I fell in with this group and have had..."
Yes. He's kidding us.
"Oh, she does have a sense of humor, doesn't she?" "I was wondering what this was doing here."
And instead of opening an extra-dimensional space, he goes over and he sort of kicks the side of his desk and a panel pops out. And he pulls out a circular object covered in a cloth. And this thing is probably the dustiest thing in the shop. And he walks over to you. He pulls back the cloth. And you see a shining shield with the emblem of Shantaea on the front of it. And he holds it out and he reaches his hands forward to you and says,
"Here."
I accept it.
Do you touch him while you accept it?
As you grab it, he sort of holds on to it, okay. And then he looks down at your shield.
At my personal shield that I already have? Oh. This is a trade.
We all had a trade, man.
I'm willing to trade for a shield of my goddess. And I take my shield and hand it to him and pull the new shield towards myself. Giving it a nice little tug of weight.
He snaps his fingers again, and the front of the flap opens up, and some light shines through from the outside, and the magical torches disappear, and you're just lit by the light that's already in there. He says,
"I have some minor things lying about, should you wish to purchase them. Otherwise, I bid you well on your journey. Until the next we meet."
Can I just do a precursory kind of just sweep of things that he has?
Yeah, roll a d20 for me.
Ludwig walks up to him and asks,
"I once saw..."
So 14.
"I once saw Wall fight in the pit with sand. People very rich have these things like bags, but they pull large things out that not fit in bags. You have?"
Roll a d20.
11.
A Mary Poppins bag. You want a Mary Poppins bag?
It's called a bag of holding.
Oh, yeah.
He says, "Oh, let me check in the back." And he sort of shuffles over to a dark corner of the store. Okay. What was... Sakura, did you roll a d20 as well?
No, I wasn't told to.
If you wanted to look around for things.
And do we add any modifier?
A d20. Straight d20.
Oh, it's no perception?
No.
Okay, then 19.
Okay. So to Manny and Quillanin, you notice a couple mundane-looking items. You see a candle, a set of bone dye, a pipe, a smoking pipe, a tankard.
Too much? Tumania smoker.
And a ring, all sitting on.
I want to see if the ring has any engravings on it.
Each of these has a small placard in front of it that describe the item.
Okay.
The ring is called the Ring of Ganj.
What is that?
G-A-N-G.
What does that mean? Does it have a description?
Just the name.
How much is it?
Here we go.
What is that, a two? That's going to be, it'll be 100 gold.
I'm just going to pick it up and see if it does anything.
It doesn't do anything in your hands.
Wait, did we actually get paid yet or no?
No.
From that other person.
No.
I didn't think so.
But I think you guys have a lot of gold and
gems.
Yeah,
you said 100 gold, right?
For what?
That's what the ring would cost?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I have gems, I just don't know what their equivalent value is.
I go ask the storekeeper what this ring does.
Okay. He comes back with a really dusty looking backpack, and plops it down on his counter. And as he takes the ring from you, he puts it on a finger and produces a pipe from the fold of his robe. And as he puts the pipe the ring over the pipe, he then moves his hand back, and you see the pipe is filled with some kind of an herb.
Oh my god!
And he hands you the pipe.
Such a bloody Prussian.
I'm gonna buy the dice, the bone dice.
Okay.
Oh, did you want that? Oh, sorry. Nope, you buy them.
You're such a white elf. There we go.
Because I have a spell of augury, and I can augur with different things that I can imbue. I would like the bone die because they look well used and they are probably already imbued.
What's augur?
Divine.
Figure out what it is.
Well, like to cast dice or sticks or gems and ask what's happening next.
A divination.
Yeah. This.
Okay, so it's the price on the dice is 70 gold.
And I give our elderly oracle-y friend my 70 gold.
Okay.
Would you rolled something too?
He dropped a backpack on the table. So Ludwig leans forward and takes his great sword off of his shoulder and then shoves it in the bag to see if it goes into the bag.
It disappears inside the bag.
He pushes it all the way in.
Yeah. Well, it's like you know how big the extra dimensional space is? 15 by 15 feet?
It depends on how powerful the bag is.
Okay. I'll say that it disappears within the bag.
Nice!
Ludwig smiles and then reaches into the bag and closes his eyes and says, "Sword."
You feel around for it a bit and then you find it and you can pull it out.
Okay, maybe not as good, but still good. How much?
For you, my friend, a mere 125.
125.
He's like platinum.
Gold pieces.
125 gold. I go over and I help him count out 125 gold pieces.
Wait. Isn't a bit much, Dumaney?
Would I know the price of a disappearing bag?
I would say it's probably not something you see very commonly.
I think it's a good buy.
I feel like if we're longtime friends, since you know all of us, you could at least cut my friend a true deal and give it to him for 100.
Make a persuasion check.
God damn it. That's my worst role. Why would you do this to me?
You're the one using charisma.
Can I charm him first?
If you want.
That might be seen as aggressive.
Yeah, they totally know when they're being charmed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Once it wears off, they're aware that you charmed them.
Well, if he's from the future, he knows this happens.
So that he's probably got fail safes put up for that then, if he knows you.
So it's a -1. So I got an 8. I give him a wink. Like, I'm so bad at this.
He smiles and he says, "Well, I am going out of business, so I'll make it 115.
I count 115.
Is that good?
Yes, it's very good.
Okay, he takes his pack out and he turns it over, and two pouches hit and bounce onto the table, and then just a shower of various other coins that are sticky from the pudding hit the counter and stick. They don't even bounce, they just... And then he looks it over. Is it enough?
I count out one.
How much do you have in gold?
In my pack currently, I have 244 pieces of loose gold.
Okay.
And then I have a jingly pouch. And then I have another pouch that contains 50 gold and 13 silver and some copper.
Okay. Can I?
The elderly man waves his hand over the pile, and you see a numerous amount of the gold coins lift up and sort of shake themselves, and you see all the grime and stuff sort of flitter off into dust, and they stack themselves in neat piles of 20 across his desk, and he says, it's just enough. And then he waves his hand, and the rest of your gold goes back into your pouch.
Nice.
Thank you.
Ooh.
You are welcome, my friend.
And GM, how much was it again?
115.
Yeah.
What does the pipe say? I want to just know what the placards say on the...
The name of the pipe is called the Pipe of Smoke Monsters.
Pipe of Smoke Monsters? I look at him like, what the hell is that?
I mean, if it's a magical thing, I think there's a possibility that could actually be really cool. But anyway, I have two things. So one, I rolled a 19 for the perception.
Oh, yeah.
And then two, before he disappears into thin air.
Because he will.
Yeah. I want to pull out the lumpy journal with the story in it and ask him what this means to him.
Okay.
Or if it means to him.
All right. So close to a 20.
I'm trying to leave this guy with a better taste in his mouth for me.
I need to see the player's handbook for a second.
Gosh. Also, tell me what the placard says for the bone die.
It's called Charlatan's Die.
Charlatan's
Die. So they roll how you want them to.
Yeah. What does the pipe say?
Pipe of smoke monsters.
How much is the placard?
Hold on. Because
I was just buying. Because I just want to buy it now because it says smoke monsters.
Meanwhile, Ludwig empties his explorer pouch into his bag of holding.
Bag of holding.
And then, has the empty explorer's pouch and the bag
shoves
of holding.
Shoves it in. Yep. That was the name.
Pouchception. Lots and lots of holding.
Saki's sitting there, hand in her face, like he doesn't understand puns yet. Couchception.
All right, so...
What is ception?
So he looks at the book, and he sort of chuckles a little bit. And he holds it in his hand, and he looks at Ludwig. And you see him begin to make sigils in the air that seem... Well, make an arcana check for me, really.
I'm gonna use an inspiration.
Alright.
That's a good choice, though.
It was a 5, and I have a +5, but I didn't want that. That's a natural 20.
Okay. +5. Woo!
You can definitely tell he's casting counterspell.
That's my proficiency as well.
He's casting counterspell at Ludwig, but as soon as it goes off, what you see is not a counterspell, but you do realize that there's a certain scent not in the air anymore. And it seems he has cast counter smell. And he hands the book back to you.
So now Ludwig doesn't smell?
I flip it open to the first page, which I've read before.
It's still garbled gunk. So, since you got a nat 20, I'm just going to tell you what this book does. I have to see what the stop is on it, like how many times per day you can use it, but you can basically change one letter in the word of in the name of your spell to create a different spell.
Nice!
Dude, I have a spell that's called Hex.
Oh no.
Sex spell! Are you gonna just change everyone's gender that you see?
Or hellish rebuke can be hellish renuke.
Or hellish rebut.
Hellish rebuke.
It just only affects their butt.
Hellish rebuke? Just rebuke. Fucking scorn somebody? Oh, man. Damn.
This is a magical item that does require attunement, so only one of you can use it at a time, but any of the magic users can use it.
Nice.
Cool.
We're just going to be throwing it in a circle.
He explains that to me then?
Correct.
Okay.
I
get that from my arcana knowledge. I watched him do a spell. I now understand how this stone works.
Attunement makes time. It takes time for magical items, so like it's up to the GM's discretion, but I don't think you could just throw it to each other. Someone will have to hold on to it.
Got it. Fair.
But like, if a day is going to pass, you can and then give
yeah,
it
we're
to
gonna,
the
yeah, person. We're going to have a long journey into this.
Once it's attuned
anyway.
To you, it's yours.
Oh, so it's bound to carry.
But you can move it to someone else, and then they can attune. But then you lose your attunement.
Okay.
Only one person per time.
Got it.
Well, I like that, so I'm going to hold on to that for now. But then my 19 for perception in the room.
Right. Okay, yeah, I actually have to roll on a different table. Can I get the D100, please? Thank you. I don't know.
I believe that's a 53.
As you walk through the dusty shelves of this strange store, you come across a small object with a placard that just specifically just reads Black File. PHIAL. It's a black stone file with a rough, tightly fitting stopper. And it says 90 gold.
I literally have only 75 gold.
Ludwig sees disheartened Sakura.
Yeah, so Sakura will like pick it up and like look at it, and obviously Ludwig is witnessing this, as he says, and she like looks at her book and like she like plays with her necklace, and she just kind of does the like don't look a gift horse in the mouth thing and puts the file back down and begins to walk away.
Ludwig stops Sakura.
Yes.
And reaches into his bag of holding and shouts, "Gold coins!"
Awkward pause.
And keeps digging around.
Eventually he finds the gold coins.
Ludwig pulls out a fist of gold coins and puts them in Sakura's hand.
Sakura's eyes get all snaky and bubbly, and she picks through them and counts out 15 and then hands the rest back. And then
Ludwig pushes the coins back at Sakura.
I only need this many.
You need more, maybe. You hold on for later.
She, again, chokes back snake tears and looks at Ludwig, placing her arm on his shoulder, and says, "You are a true friend, Ludwig." And then she turns and grabs the file and goes to, what's his name? We got his name right. It's a Saladin.
Salabal.
Salabal. Salabar.
You got 48. 48 gold
48
coins.
Gold coins, okay. Yep.
And you pay for your item. Too many, you said you wanted to buy the
pipe, even though I have no idea what it does.
Right.
How much is it?
70 gold.
I give him 70 gold. Okay. And what was the last thing?
There was the ring of Ganj.
The ring, the dice, the
and
the pipe.
Then, there was a candle.
A candle. And a tankard.
What did the candle name say?
Oh, and a tankard. The candle says Candle of the Deep.
Deep North, or?
Deep North!
I ask him what the candle does.
He walks over and pulls out a water basin, mm-hmm. and waves his finger over it, or raises his hand over it, and it fills with water. And he pulls the candle off the shelf, lights it, and then sticks it in the water, and you see the candle continue to burn under the water.
How much is the candle?
Make
it 30, so it's just 100 even. I can take
30
out.
Gold.
Thank you.
I was going to say 40, but...
But he is going out of business.
He is going out of business sale.
It's going down a crazy salvo.
So the only thing that hasn't been taken are the tankard and the...
The Ganj.
Ring of Ganj.
Ring of Ganj. I thank Salad Bar and Salivar. And I say, I'm assuming we'll see you soon.
Ludwig not done.
Oh my god.
Ludwig would like you look at few things.
Okay, I'll do what I can.
He pulls off the bloody cloak and puts it on the counter. He puts the leather chest piece on the counter. He puts the dragonfish bust on the counter. He puts bone dice on the counter. He then puts the bone mask on the counter. He's just like reaching to the back, pulling stuff out. And then he stops and he looks at the keg that's inside the bag of holding and just shakes his head and then looks up. These.
Okay. He looks over each of these items on the table, and his hand just sort of waves over most of them. He does his hand over the cloak. You sort of see the cloak wisp up a little bit, and you sort of feel a vibration sort of hum through the air. And as he
cloak of humming,
as he sort of begins to close his fist, you see the cloak begin to emit this dark mist that you recognize as the same mist that was cloaking you during the last battle that you had after you got stabbed.
So it makes black.
It is a creation of some sort of magical fog, yes.
And you can see if you wear or also blind.
Only one way to find out.
Ludwig takes it over as he's not keen on testing it, and he hands it to Tumani.
You try.
I put it on.
Okay. He waves his hand again, since you're not attuned to it. He waves his hand and snaps his fingers, and all of a sudden the whole room is just covered in darkness.
Can I see?
Tumani, where are you?
You are also blind.
I'm also blind, Ludwig! But is it because I'm not attuned to it?
As it's happened, I assume Ludwig starts sort of stumbling around looking for Tumani.
Where are you, Tumani?
I use Druidcraft and I light in my hands.
But as you do that also, you can actually feel Ludwig's feet pressing into the ground around you as he's stumbling around.
Can I feel where everybody else is?
Everybody else is standing still and not making any noise.
I'm going to ask everyone to move.
I start pushing my toe in a circle on the ground.
You can feel the dirt being moved underneath her foot.
And I start walking backwards toward the open flap.
I start spelling something in the ground. C. U. N.
It's not sensitive enough to pick up letters, but you do feel his and you do feel Quillanen moving backwards. Okay. And then there's a snap and the fog retreats into the cloak.
How do I explain this? Ludwig, you can't see with it, but you can feel with it?
I can feel always.
I can feel where everybody was. I could tell where everyone was. I just could not see them.
Like you can touch?
Not exactly.
Okay, should I roll to see if I understand?
Sure, if you think you might have understood what she said.
I could tell where your feet were without seeing them.
So you touch my feet?
Nope. I just knew, automatically.
Sakura hearing this says, your feet touched her brain.
Whoa.
This is very powerful magic. How can my foot go in your brain and me not feel?
Magic, Ludwig. Magic.
Ludwig, yes. Do you know the word figuratively?
Sakura, looking at Tumani, says, let's not get carried away. Two syllables.
Magic.
Figurative.
I go to take the cloak off and give it back to you. Ludwig?
I don't.
Alright, give me it. I'll wear it, I guess.
Okay.
I'll let it attune itself to me and see how weird this shit gets.
So is he going to be able to sell any of that stuff that's on the table?
All mundane to him.
Okay. Just as a heads up, I'm going to bring this up to him.
When the time comes.
Okay. So He looks around at his shop, which is getting barer by the minute, and says,
"My time in this place grows short. Are there any further purchases you wish to make?"
Sakura, looking at him and appreciating her vial, says, "Not particularly for me," but rummaging through her items, she brings forward the canvas painting and says, "Does this bring you any joy?" As she shows him the painting of the Seven Joyous.
He puts his hand on your wrist and slowly brings your hand down and says,
"The journey is yours. I am merely an observer."
As most oracles are. And she bows her head and says, "I appreciate your time, Oracle."
Ludwig scrapes everything off the counter back into the bag of holding.
Okay.
And then turns around and does a once over of the shop. I did got a 17 for my a 19 for my perception.
It was just a d20, not a perception.
Oh, then 17.
All right. So there is a drinking tankard that looks very well crafted. And it looks like it could hold a good amount of ale in it. And there is the ring that too many seem to not want.
Ludwig looks at the ring for a moment. Too many make good purchase. So he turns away from the ring.
Okay.
And he goes over to the tankard and starts to inspect it.
Okay. It just looks like a really well-made tankard.
Placard says.
He can't read it.
Yeah, I just look it over.
I go read the placard for him.
You can read. I'm going to say this before you read it out loud.
Okay.
So you read, it says, "Tankard of Sobriety."
This is a great tankard, Ludwig.
What'd it do?
It makes you feel good?
It make ale better?
Yes.
How much?
How much is it?
15 gold.
It's 15 gold.
Sound like good purchase.
It's super great purchase.
All right, go ahead and add the tankard of sobriety to your equipment. Sakura?
Sakura, as he like kind of leans over and says 15 gold to them as he's still holding onto her wrist with the painting, she slips it back into her belongings and peeks over his shoulder at the desk, at the book on his desk, and says, "How much for the book?"
He smiles at you and says,
"While I admire your ingenuity, my ledger is not for sale."
"And what of your story, Oracle?"
"I'm sure you'll learn it soon enough."
See, told you. He can, we're gonna see him again, I already know it. He might be die, he might be younger next time. Just out of character, I know that Jeremy really likes time travel.
You see the walls of the pavilion begin to, seem like they're slowly getting smaller and smaller.
But,
and coming in.
But Ludwig would like you to do magic things to sword.
He, as he sort of steps back to his desk, he says,
"Your sword will soon serve its own purpose."
"Does it have a cool name?"
It is known in the Northeast as the Slayer of Giants.
It's a good name, I think.
The walls of the pavilion shift in a few more feet, and your oracle friend says,
"Not much time left."
"Elf lady."
He learned everybody but your name.
"Yes, Ludwig.
I saw too many doesn't like this. I won't buy it then, but maybe you like."
"Ring of Ganje?"
"Gonge."
"Gonge. Well, that looks a little bit intriguing to me, and how much would you ask for that?"
Oh, but a mere 100 gold. Such a price for such a prize.
And can you tell me anything about it before I give you 100 gold?
He pulls the pipe back out of his pocket and hands it to you.
Oh. Well, here's your 100 gold.
Okay. Cha-ching, you cash out. Add the Ring of Gunj to your inventory. As you can feel the magic in this area begin to wane, Salabal moves over to his desk and opens a drawer. And he says,
I have one more gift to offer each of you.
Pulls out a small pouch and unties the drawstring and opens it up and says,
But I must warn you, the blessings bestowed are rivaled only by the curse's rot.
He pulls out a deck of cards.
Oh, God.
Oh, no!
Ludwig loves games! And he runs up and sticks his hand out.
I offer each of you a single draw.
Thanks, baby.
I offer each of you a single draw from this deck. Be warned, there are no returns.
Okay.
Ludwig reaches out.
I'm so nervous. All right.
All right, tell us what you got.
Ludwig looks at the image. Two dragons kissing. One's white and one's black. A man in a blue robe with a stick. It says something at the bottom. Elf lady?
It is called the High Priest card. He has a scepter with a dragon on it and a smaller scepter. Yes, surrounded by dragons.
How cool. Okay.
Okay, that's good at least.
This is the key card. Hang on just a minute.
Key card? Unlocks doors.
Ooh. Can I shove it in doors and it opens them?
No. hang on just a second here. I need to look up the Dungeon Master's Guide because you're going to get a magic item.
This is our magic item song.
Dum da dum dum.
Magic improvisational song. The magic improvisational song.
Ah. Whoop-bop, boop-bop, beep-bop, boop. Whoop-bop, boop.
Alright, let me get the right chapter here. What a good start to this deck pull.
Shut up, Jeremy. Calm down, there's still three more cards to be pulled.
If you all want to draw a card, you don't all have to draw
a card. I'm drawing a card.
Yeah.
Ludwig is definitely going to back up once he receives whatever he's getting. Far enough away, just in case there is some sort of an Oblivion orb or other Oblivion gate opened.
For being so negative, Ludwig.
No, that's the player being negative. Ludwig
is
not negative.
Negative, Mike.
yeah, because they're in. If this is a deck of many things, then
that is exactly
what it is. It's a deck of many things.
Actually, then you can instantly
actually,
die.
It was renamed to a deck of too many things.
that's right. It's the deck of too many things.
Too many things.
Which means I can't draw anything then.
We'll or out. You can't draw anything. I meant to draw a card versus, like, artistically. You could draw on your eyebrows pretty well. Your eyeliner's on fleek.
Roll the D100 for me.
Don't do it. Who is? Anyone?
Here you go, Ray.
I'll roll it for...
Who is it for?
For Ludwig.
Oh.
100?
Oh, shit.
Ludwig holds the power over the entire universe.
You're welcome, Ludwig.
That's awesome.
The card in your hand dissolves as if by magic, And a small rift in space-time opens up where the card used to be.
Ooh.
And into your hands plop a pair of boots with small white wings on the side.
Can you fly now?
Tell him he has pretty wings.
You have pretty wings.
Ooh. Winged boots.
I've never worn boots before.
Quite the flight of fancy.
We're going to have to put like a cut in half sticker on each side so he puts them on the right feet.
Yeah, there you go.
Teach him how to tie boots.
I've never had boots before. Ludwig always walk bare.
As we all take notice for the first time that he's been walking everywhere barefoot.
No, I've noticed.
When you wear these boots, you have a flying speed equal to your walking speed.
Nice!
You can use the boots to fly up for 4 hours. All events are in shorter flights, each using a minimum of 1 minute duration. If you are flying when the duration expires, you descend at a rate of 30 feet per round until you land.
Okay.
They require regain 2 hours of flying capability every 12 hours they're not in use.
Okay.
Good pull.
Fucking
I need that card
epic.
Back, please.
Oh, it can't be in the deck, though, can it? Oh, it can?
It returns to the deck. There's very few cards that do not return to a deck of many things.
A deck of many things.
Too many things.
The deck of too many things. Who's next?
Too many. Let's do it. I'm so scared.
I can only fly for a minute at a time? Or
4 hours.
4 hours at a time.
Okay. It has to be at least a minute of flying time.
Okay.
So you can't just, like, fly up real quick and come back down. I'm so nervous.
You should be.
Is there, like, an equal number of bad and good, or, like, what's my probability?
I'll say that most deck of many things are only 75% complete, and so we pulled 5 cards from this. Most of those were bad cards.
Yeah.
So. It was random. It wasn't me playing favorites on you guys. What do we get?
This is bad. Fool.
The Fool!
Oh, he's cute, though. I get cursed.
The card dissolves in your hand.
Does it not return back to the deck?
I need you to draw again.
Uh-oh.
Unfortunately, this means the next time everybody levels up, you don't level up.
What?
Why don't you get the Fool again?
I swear to God. The Hermit.
The Hermit. As you hold this card in your hand, a light protrudes from it as it begins to dissolve. The rest of you can see what looks to be a third eye open up on Tumini's forehead. You will know the answer to your next dilemma.
Here we go again, Swarm.
Okay.
Or you can ask a question right now.
Is Salivar telling her that's what it means, or does she?
This is the GM telling Reed that this is what this means. It's a super magical. The deck of many things is a very magical, very volatile type of magic.
So it's like if you really want the answer to something that you otherwise may have to do an entire leg of a journey for, you could have the answer. Like if this was your vampire character,
and
you'd
I'd
be
probably...
like, "Who's my mom?"
I probably hold on to that until we're ready to depart. So as soon as we have that
information.
But
I can ask a question right now.
You could. Or whenever you want.
I can't ask a question whenever
you can
I
ask a question now or the next dilemma that you come up against,
yeah.
You will know the answer to.
Oh, then yeah. There may be a question you want to ask right now.
I kind of have a question that I want to ask right now, but it's really selfish.
Selfish? well, it's too many. Is too many going to be selfish is the question.
Probably not.
What's her alignment?
Chaotic good.
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay. I know. I kind of want to ask. I group around my friends, and because I know what this part means, but I kind of want to figure out
the rest of it.
What the rest of it means.
Of the scroll.
If you have a map with you, and this is out of character, Mike speaking, if you had a map with you, you could ask
where on this map is so-and-so, and then it could be marked on the map and we could find that individual.
But I know where the place is that this is referring to.
The scene, yeah, you know that place.
But is I there?
We don't know if the individual we're looking for is there.
So you could just essentially ask it to decipher the whole thing and you'd get the full answer.
Or we could ask it to decipher the message that Rook left us behind so we can find Rook and the amulet along with it.
Yeah, I would also like to point out that you are within an extra dimensional and extra time space right now.
Okay.
So that
might fuck with the...
So asking where somebody is probably a bad choice.
Well, it might show you where she is, has been, or will be.
So that could be a problem.
I can't say, right here, right now, in this dimension.
Swarm it. Let me go outside for a second.
Salamar, step outside with me.
I could have sworn I wrote down the freaking year. The year and everything. Because I'd ask you that.
I think I'll just hold on until our next dilemma because I don't know what to ask, and the feeling of not knowing what to ask is giving me too much anxiety. So I'd rather just...
Kulanin will pull.
Kulanin approaches the deck.
Cautiously.
Cautiously. I get the moon.
Ah, Sita Luna.
It's a beautiful white dragon on the moon.
Oh, just like that one we killed.
Oh, what'd she get?
Ludwig enjoys the white dragon tail.
As the card dissolves.
As the card dissolves, I need you to roll a d4.
The triangle, eh? I'm so scared of pyramids.
I can't tell what.
Two.
Oh, the two's on top.
As the card disappears, two small pearlescent beads fall into your hand. Salabal smiles and says, "Ah. Quite powerful indeed, yes. For within each of these pearls lies a single wish. Be careful what you use them for. Not all that we ask for is what we want."
So, on when you wish a wish? Pizza's
well, that here. Could end our quest real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish Emphazal to be dead. And Jeremy's like, God!
Or then she would just be risen from the dead using necromantic magic.
Yeah, she'll just be a zombie Emphaza.
I wish Emphaza to lose all magical ability.
And to just be a plain old human.
To lose all magical ability and to nullify any magic within her area.
That'd be too separate.
Second wish, I wish she was here right now. Boom!
Boom! Well, you could just wish that she would never be able to cast magic or magic influence her.
Can we eat?
I would like Sakura to pull his card so we can finish this segment.
Her card. Sakura's a lady.
That one's a man.
Did you hear what Mom got?
Yeah, the two wishes.
Basically, you've gathered all the Dragon Balls twice. What do you do?
Sakura looks...
Hold on, say it again.
Sakura looks toward... Salabel and waves her hand over the deck and very consciously takes the last card from the deck. Seven of Cups. I think I'm the only one who didn't get in a major arcana.
Well, I'm the only one that's probably got a bad one.
You deserve it. I'm kidding.
As the card dissolves in your hand, a pile of 50 gems drops in front of you. Each gem is worth approximately 1,000 gold pieces.
Nice!
Wow.
5,000 gold pieces in your pocket.
50,000.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's a fuck ton of money.
So this is where we go and build a castle, right?
I was kind of hoping somebody would pull the castle card.
Oh, that would have been cool.
I mean, I think that's kind of like an equivalent to a castle card, isn't it?
Well,
it's like a castle and a carriage card.
It's kind of like a castle and then enough people to maintain the castle.
Castle and a vassal?
Yeah. Yeah, you have enough people to maintain the castle probably for about a year, and then you would have to pay. If we wanted to spend it all on a castle.
I'm a warlock, I'd spend it all on knowledge. But I like that idea, and I'm not beyond thinking about it more. Do they spill out to the ground, or do they like spill out into my open?
Well, you're just holding your hand out, and then just like gems just start appearing out of nowhere. So you catch some in your hand, but they're just like sort of spilling out all over the floor.
I open up my bag and I spill them out into the bag.
Okay.
And I maintain a collection of all of them. All
right. That's what I get for naming that thing after me.
Goodbye, my friends.
Goodbye, old one.
And I wish you well on your journey. Perhaps this time it will turn out better.
And you find yourselves back outside in the middle of the plaza.
Time traveling. I'm
too many. I think you had too much of the nothing bunt blood cake.
So out of character, yeah. Like your character now in my head is the female version of the aliens guy.
Time travel.
Quillan and I suggest you be very, very careful with those.
Yes. Well, I have them in my hand now, but I have a special bag in my herbalism kit. I will keep them safe.
Ludwig.
And I think we should all remember the words of Salabel, who says the blessings bestowed are rivaled by curses wrought. So I know I'm going to be careful about my wishes, knowing there might be other consequences.
Ludwig thinks you should wish for more of the Bloodwig blunt cake. I don't know how to say it.
Ludwig, I think you should wish for more wishes. Salabel slaps you across the face. That's what I thought was about to happen.
I was thinking about it. I was. But I was like, no, Ludwig wouldn't have thought of that. That was me thinking that.
Hail the Void! Thanks again for listening to me play D&D with my family. With your support, we just passed 1,000 downloads last week. And if you want to help us continue to push fun new content, you can like, comment, and subscribe to our episodes on your preferred podcast platform, rep the merch available at store.hailthevoid.com around town, support us directly at patreon.com/hailthevoid, or if you don't have the coin to spend or a helpful Ludwig to loan you the gold, you can help us out tremendously by sharing our content with your friends and family. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for exclusive photos of Sakura's doodles, in-game pictures, and a picture of the Seven Joys, which we will be posting today. We'll be back next week with more D&D shenanigans, so stay vigilant, stay happy, and above all, again and always,
hail the Void.